How many of you would like to increase your faith? I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke chapter 17, where we have that same request. You're in good company if you desire to have your faith increased. Notice Luke chapter 17, verse 5. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. You know, the setting on this passage of Scripture is found in verses 1 through 4 of Luke chapter 17. And the setting is actually instruction on the subject of forgiveness. How many of you like to be forgiven? Let me see your hands. How many of you like to do the forgiving? That sometimes is not quite as easy. But yet both are necessary. Most of us are more often needing forgiving than having to give it, I think. Especially if you're prone to be in the doghouse. Melody was in Savannah, and I texted her, and I said, Melody, I've been bad. I ate one of your granola bars. And she answered back and said, confession is good for the soul. I forgive you. She likes those special honey nut ones, you know. Of course, I could have exercised my husband role of authority, but no, we know that I did the right thing. I did the right thing. But here is instruction on forgiveness. Does that surprise you? Some of you might say, well, what in the world does forgiveness have to do with increasing your faith? Doesn't seem to match up. Well, look at the setting here. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 17. Then said he, that's Jesus, unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. You know what that verse is actually saying? Offenses and disagreements are always going to come. Now, you try to convince newlyweds about that. They'll find out soon enough that verse 1 is accurate. When was the first disagreement, to use a nice euphemism now, okay? When was the first disagreement that you had after you got married? Well, back when I got married in 1975, there were no GPSs, and I let Melody read the map, and we were going across Wisconsin to go to the Wisconsin Dells. And Melody was reading the map, and we wound up on the other side of the state. So after a few verbal deliberations, we determined the right way to go. But I really regretted those deliberations, but GPSs solve a lot of problems, don't they? But still, yes, some of you are so obstinate that you argue with the lady. I know. And she's constantly telling you, recalculating. Well, here it says, offenses are going to come. If any of you think you can live through your marriage or live through life and have such a perfect relationship that problems aren't going to come, guess again. We are fallen creatures. We are raised in two separate homes, two separate environments. Sometimes you even have nationality issues that may come up. One belongs to the Fighting Irish, and the other ones belong to the Vocal Italians, and they marry together. And boy, you can have some pretty good fireworks. But you know, the truth of the matter is, offenses are going to come. So the Lord is starting to set up the stage now for his instruction on forgiveness. And the setting is the subject of forgiveness. And he says this, woe unto him through whom they come, because it oftentimes can become very serious, especially in the case of verse 2, when it involves other people, especially young children. Notice it says, it were better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck, that he be cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Let me give you an example of how a little child can get caught in the vortex of parental offense. Here's a husband and wife, members of a church, and they get into a scrap with some family or a deacon or elder or pastor or whatever. They get offended. They pull their family out of the church, and their little kids stop going to church because mom and dad, there's something stuck in their craw. So they stop going to church, and the children grow up godless. Now, that offense has horrible ramifications when you consider little ones that fall in the vortex of that type of offense. And that's what the Lord is indicating. And he deals in verse 3 on the subject of forgiveness still. He says here how to deal with disagreements between brothers and sisters in Christ. Take heed to yourselves. That's where the problem starts. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Go to him. Matthew 18 has further instruction. We'll not have you turn there. But we have a responsibility to go when we are offended. Then it says, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. There's a responsibility of forgiveness. But, you know, it's interesting about the subject of repentance, because some people will say, well, I'll forgive you when I see a change. But you know, isn't it interesting that verse 6 says that forgiveness is to be based on statement, not performance. Notice what it says. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, circle the word saying. Because the word saying shows us that forgiveness is to be granted upon statement. It isn't certainly based on performance, because notice, 7 times a day. The rabbinical tradition in Christ's day, and even in the Old Testament, back in the book of Amos chapter 1, we'll not turn there, but I'll just make a reference to it. The rabbinical tradition was that we're to forgive 3 times, and then after 3, that's it. They used Amos chapter 1 using the example of the Lord forgiving Israel's enemies 3 times before judgment came. And the rabbinical tradition was 3. So when you hear about 7, that's a lot more than the rabbinical tradition, isn't it? Notice, after Jesus finishes speaking about the matter of forgiveness, and you know what? It takes a lot to follow verse 4 because it runs cross-grained to us. In the context of how hard it is to forgive, especially with repetitive offense, the disciples said, increase our faith. We see the setting in verses 1 through 4. We see the request on the part of the disciples. The disciples, after they heard about that subject of forgiveness, they made a request, Lord, increase our faith. You know, the Greek language reads just a little bit more clearer. Lord, give us more faith. That's the Greek concept. Lord, give us more faith. You know what the truth of the matter is? They didn't need more faith. They just needed to obey. Sometimes we have a tendency to think that the Christian life would be so easy if we just had more faith, but we just need to obey what the Lord has said. They needed to see God's provision in their lives and trust Him for it. When a believer realizes the extent of God's forgiveness repetitively in our lives. Has the Lord had to repeatedly forgive you? Oh, He has. oftentimes for the same issues, many times throughout our lives. And since the Lord has established that forgiveness, we are to reciprocate with that same forgiveness. And Jesus simply gives two illustrations after the disciples say, increase or give us more faith. And he gives two illustrations. The Lord said, the first illustration, by the way, is a mustard seed. A mustard seed is among the smallest of seeds. Verse 6 says, the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. You don't need more faith. A small mustard seed, small, and yet look what a small seed can do. You say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So you see, what we need to do is not ask for more faith. We need to utilize the faith that we have and realize it's not our faith that can do great things. It's the object of our faith that we place our faith upon. It's the Lord. He is the object of our faith. Faith is not based on quantity. It's based upon the object that we are placing it in. The disciples didn't need to ask for more faith. They needed to say, Lord, you're the one that can give the grace. You're the one that provides. I don't need faith in my faith. I need faith in you. And Lord, you are the provider of forgiveness because you show it to me every day of my life. And because of that, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. And the Lord can do great things. And he uses the example of a mustard seed. But then he gives another example in verses 7 through 10 about the Lord's attitude towards forgiving others. It says in verse 7, we have the analogy, first of all, of a mustard seed in verse 6, then the analogy of a servant. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup. Gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did that which was commanded him? I think not. I expect not. I trow not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Do you see how this example of a servant ties in with the fact it isn't a matter of increasing our faith. It's a matter of duty and obedience unto the Lord. That we as forgiven people ought to be forgiving people. And because of the Lord as the object of our faith, it's not the size of our faith that we need to depend upon. We need to obey the Lord in that area which is expected of us. We are that unprofitable servant who are to have done what our duty is to do. Well, isn't it wonderful to know that we have a forgiving God and we can extend forgiveness unto God's people as well? And may we demonstrate this area. Sometimes we as Christians will say, Lord, increase my faith. And the Lord will tell us, you know what? You need to exercise and be obedient unto me. You need to obey me and the word that I've given unto you. And we have a tendency to sometimes misplace our emphasis when we know what God's word has instructed unto us. May God challenge us to not only increase our faith, but increase our desire and motivation to be obedient unto what the Lord has told us, to be forgiving one to another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, for the instruction that you provide to us, Lord, in this matter of forgiveness. So often, Lord, we harbor bitterness and anger, and we fail to see, Lord, that we can be like that unjust servant who, Lord, grabbed his servant by the neck and would refuse to forgive when he had been forgiven for so much. So, Lord, may we not be delivered unto the tormentors of physical anxiety and bitterness and all of the things that are physical results of a bitter spirit. And, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness towards us. And that, Lord, you remove our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. May we as forgiven people be forgiving towards one another. And, Lord, especially as we consider, Lord, that we can fail of the grace of God and many can be defiled, even innocent little children. All of us, Lord, at one time or another have witnessed to people and talked to them and they weren't going to church because some preacher offended them or somebody preached something that offended them and they harbored a bitterness against all churches and it kept them from going to church. And Lord, how hollow an excuse as that is. Lord, we're mindful that here in the earthly realm, if we run into a doctor that we don't like, we don't stop going to the doctors. We go to other physicians and look for those that are good. And Lord, may we realize that you are our divine Savior, perfect, impeccable, immutable. And Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that always cleanses us from sin. So bless us as we go to prayer now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.